it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Kato, we had a blast with you this morning with the inappropriate workout guy.
I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? I mean, I've got muscles from today. I've lost weight. I felt like I've lost weight.
It takes a little longer than that, Kato. But good job working out.
Yeah. So this week, if you missed out, Torture Tuesday sent Kato out to be the inappropriate workout guy, grunt like crazy, use the equipment all wrong and stuff. But, you know, 63% of people say they're afraid they will hurt themselves at the gym.
Really?
Yeah.
I hurt.
That sounds like a washout, wuss out thing to try to get out of working out.
I think all of us hurt when we work out, especially on that second day. First day, it's not so bad. But if you haven't worked out in a while and you go there and you're like, that second day, you can barely even walk if you've done anything with squats and stuff.
Yeah, you're grunting like Kato, but just walking into the gym.
I cry before I go. The last time I worked out, Tom, I told him I just wanted to tone up, and I had a trainer, a female trainer,
yeah,
who killed me. And then all of a sudden, I felt this pain shoot from the back of my neck up through my head. I thought it was an aneurysm.
Okay.
I have not, until today, stepped back into a gym because you can get hurt. You got to know how to do the right moves.
Well, let me help you out this morning because I got the things you shouldn't wear when you're working out. Okay, things you shouldn't wear when you're working out. Clothing that's 100% cotton.
Why? That seems the opposite of what I would think.
If you're just lifting weights and not doing much cardio, it probably won't make a difference. But if you're going to work up a sweat, cotton absorbs it, which can irritate your skin and cause breakouts, increase friction in areas that are prone to chafing.
And that's, everyone says cotton in the summer because it gets so hot and cotton cools you down. But for me, it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get hotter in cotton and then it gets wet because I'm a sweaty girl.
Yeah.
And then it's miserable.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make any sense to me about the
Tom.
I'm sorry, but cotton's a natural thing. It doesn't cause that kind of stuff.
It absorbs, though, the sweat. Now, when's the last time you broke a sweat in the gym?
Every time I go in a gym, I break a sweat.
You're just nervous because it's going to make you work out. Anything baggy, they say, you shouldn't wear at the gym because of safety hazards, yeah, because it's more likely to get snagged on something. And if you're working out with a trainer, baggy clothes makes it harder for them to check your form. So they can't see your form, how you're doing the crunch or whatever you're supposed to be doing. Right. So.
Okay, I might buy the trainer part, but the other part is ridiculous. I'm sorry, I have worked out at gym. I worked out for 13 months when I met my wife. I know what gyms are like, and baggy clothes aren't a problem.
I like how you remember specifically 13 months.
Well, it's because it was a year, but they gave you a free month for some reason.
All right, and with that said, they say also you shouldn't wear anything that's so tight it may mess up your range of motion. So if it's too tight, you want to also not wear that at the gym.
People wear skin-tight clothes at the gym all the time.
Well, if it's messing up your range of motion, if it's like, you know, these tight jeans and you got your belt on, that's a little bit different.
If you're wearing jeans to the gym, you really need to rethink the whole thing.
Okay, but some guys do, Tom.
They wear jeans to the gym?
Some guys
do. I've never seen that.
You went 13 months, 13 years ago, 16, 20
years
ago.
I've never seen wear blue jeans to the gym.
But I understand the range of, have you ever had a little sport coat on that's too tight?
Yeah.
It's from 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You went to that wedding,
uh-huh,
and you go to raise your hands in the air to dance, and you can't.
Yeah.
It's like,
same kind of exercise. Don't wear that to the gym either.
Yeah.
They say don't wear jewelry. Things that swing around like necklaces, bracelets can distract you. And also, like wedding rings are bad because you're like gripping something, maybe doing some biceps, and you're hurting yourself with all the rings that you have on.
You do those little silicone rings, or not. Just go without it. What in the world was that look?
Stupid bunch of ideas anyway.
Goodness, I was just trying to help. Moving on.
These are just giving me reasons not to go.
All right. Old shoes. You probably know this one.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, working out in old shoes increases your chances of slipping. And also, you can damage your ankles, knees, or hips if you got your Skechers on there doing, one, two, up on the one, two. Okay.
And don't do your church shoes because they're slippery on the bottom.
Yeah. Your Sunday go to meeting clothes. You don't want to work out in those. That looks ridiculous,
too. Some people like to stop by after church.
Well, I might meet Jesus after a workout. Some of them are strenuous.
I'd like to meet him right now.
Oh, you never will. Don't worry.
I'll
see you in line, Kato.
Oh. I'll be in the back.
Okay. Just like sneaking into church late.
That's not funny stuff.
That was rude.
Actually, it's funnier than what you've been talking about.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to save lives here.
Oh my God, saving life. Don't
we're trying to save
church
souls.
Shoes to the gym. I just saved a life.
You shouldn't wear these while you're working out, honestly.
I'll give you some useful advice too. Don't play on the interstate with your kids. It's about the same usefulness.
That's good.
It's true, but it's stupid because people already know. No one was driving in their car this morning going, well, doggone it, I was going to work out in my church clothes and saved my life.
That was a joke. That part was a joke. the wearing cotton, that right there, I mean, that's the one you just, anyway, last one. Well, it's because he doesn't work out. Perfume or cologne, that can distract people while they're in the gym. Like you're trying to sit there, pump some iron, and all of a sudden, she comes by or he comes by, and the cologne hits you just right, and you're breathing in and out. All of a sudden, you're coughing up cologne.
And dying.
That's better than sucking in BO, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd rather smell floral or something.
Every time a woman walks by me and I don't smell perfume, I think, what a wasted opportunity. Perfume smells good. I like to smell perfume
when
someone walks
by. But if you got too much on and you're working out.
So don't wear too much perfume to the
club. But a lot of people do. Then you know what? They have to make sometimes the announcements like at churches and stuff. Don't put on too much cologne because some people are allergic to it.
You know what? My doctor says that. Every single text message, they're like, we'll see you tomorrow. Also, don't wear perfume.
Yeah.
I just think
that's
odd.
Maybe it's the perfume you're wearing.
Maybe it's just you.
This is fun. I'm glad we can do this.
Yeah. I've been mean through this whole break.
Kato, you said I was going to the dark place.
Well.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad I could help you.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, it turns out that young adults, 8 out of 10 of them, feel like they're unprepared for adulthood.
I am.
Kato, you're not a young adult.
I'm still not prepared.
These were people aged 18 to 30 years old.
And let me tell you, it's hard. Don't wish to grow up quick.
Okay, Kato, that's great news for people who have no choice in the matter because they are going to grow up.
Fun at times.
They basically found that Gen Z is struggling with basic life skills that make adulthood manageable.
I can see that.
They get lost in financial literacy, housing knowledge, legal basics, and self-sufficiency.
Yes. Is this how I find out I'm Gen Z?
I don't know. Apparently, you might be.
Honestly, even some of the Gen Alpha and Beta and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it goes further down the ranks.
Well, they say that only 20% felt confident in their everyday skills. 80% said they felt anxious due to lack of practical life skills. And most of them use Google for advice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? I'm not trying to knock anybody because it's hard. Parenting is the hardest job I've ever had to do. And, you sit there and you watch your kids. You're like, man, I've got to help them out in this area because I'm slacking.
Yeah, they don't identify why this is the case, but they said that when they asked them questions about various things, financial literacy was the lowest at 31%.
What does that even mean?
So that's like how much you know about financial things, like banking and investing.
Like running up your credit card because you bought too much Amazon products that month.
Oh, well, then I'm good. I'm very financially illiterate.
Illiterate, yes.
The other one.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
But see, why don't they teach that in school? I don't think that's
a good question.
I don't think that they want us to know that.
But we learned it whenever we were in Gen X school.
But
they didn't teach us that in school.
The dumber they keep us, the more they can control us.
I remember, I think one of my math classes in high school taught you how to
balance a check
back. You know, it's like.
See, I was in calculus and crap, so we didn't do any of that.
Oh,
You think, though, about that.
I hate
like, you got. all of these classes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Calculus, chemistry, all these things.
Waste of time.
No, you have to take those to go to college. But for the most part, we do need to be teaching how to vacuum your floor, how to prepare your sandwiches.
How to vacuum?
I didn't learn that.
And getting those lines is tough.
How to live your life, like doing the practical things. Because most people, what do you think the percentage of people go on to college are in America?
I don't know. I think it's significant. I think it's at least 30, 40%, I'm guessing.
Okay, but the 60% out there or 70%, is they're just living their life, and they need to know these practical things. And another thing, too, it's hard being a kid. We can't even imagine how it is to be a kid nowadays with all this garbage and all the stuff they can get online. And then
the more you can learn anyone who wants to now.
But they ain't going to Google that, like, you know.
Well, then, I mean, how do you blame someone else for that?
I'm blaming us.
So financial literacy was the worst. House and maintenance and upkeep was next at 33%.
There you go.
Then it was understanding leases and mortgages, only 48%. I'm feeling dumb here.
Lisa 101 class.
Rent and basic legal understanding.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Travel and logistics, then insurance, and then food and nutrition was the only one they scored well in.
But your argument that everything is online, you're right. But at the same time, everything online conflicts each other, too. So you read one article paid for by this company, and they say this, and then the same information is twisted because a different company pays for it on this.
But not so much about things like rent and legal and leases and mortgages. I don't think that stuff is as much like that. Scientific stuff gets that way sometimes.
Well, you just play Monopoly. You realize that's going to make you more money than going to college is, you know, buying some property and renting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing you said, 82% was the highest one for food and nutrition.
Right.
That's what they do teach you in school. And you see more of that taught, like the four food groups. You know, we had that. And then they changed it to the four fast food groups that we need to eat every day.
McDonald's at the top.
And then they had the food pyramid and then the food square and the food circle and all that stuff. So they are trying to teach you that. But in all these other things, they're not.
True. It changes all the time.
I think for a lot of it, it's just because people want to learn about the food stuff. So they're like, I'm going to learn how to read that label on the back.
See, and I think that's it. I think that's why we should be forced to learn this, because if you want to go and learn it on your own, I'm not going to do that. I have a mortgage and I've read all the papers of buying my home. I don't understand any of it.
Yeah, you got to hire a lawyer.
But I got the travel down. I have the American Airline app and the Marriott app. I got that down. I just book a room and
a
flight.
One of your biggest things, expenses that you'll have as an adult is insurance. You're going to pay that your whole life. Car insurance, house insurance. You need to be educated with that stuff.
And taxes, property tax. I saw a video the other day. It says you really never own your home. Even if you pay it off, you're still paying the government to live in it.
You use all that stuff, but Tom, when's the last time you used calculus? Like, they're teaching you calculus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I was supposed to go make rockets in NASA, and I didn't do that.
You wanted to hang out with us.
I probably would have used it if I had gone to work in that field.
Right.
But, I mean, this stuff should be taught for sure in school, and I think that they're actually doing more of that these days, but these 18 to 30s missed it.
They didn't teach us anything. Seriously, they taught us how to bake a cake, and I burned it, and she was like, well, good luck in the real world, and that was the end of my real world experience in school.
Oh, I learned how to make cinnamon rolls.
Well, that sounds delicious. Why don't you ever make them?
I made biscuits.
Maybe you should have taken home ec as your main career focus on your school.
That was in home ec.
I know. I'm going to say maybe you shouldn't have taken it.
Mine was in PE. Now I get it.
Okay, mine was in home ec too, and I got third place, the ribbon for third place, and my mom was so mad because she helped me make those biscuits.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Well, bless your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's calculus, boy, ever talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uppity.
You're right.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, our iPhones probably take better pictures than the professional cameras from when we were kids.
Yeah.
And we take those pictures every day of our kids. We don't really need to buy pictures hardly anymore.
Less and less people are. Now, they asked something that you were embarrassed to wear as a little kid.
Apparently, judging by my school pictures, nothing. I wasn't embarrassed to wear anything.
Your mom dressed you up, sent you to school that way?
I once asked her, why did you let me get my school picture taken in those clothes? And she said, those were your favorite. That was your favorite outfit. I'm like, oh.
Well, you see kids dress themselves these days. It's not anything attractive. They like to wear their favorite things. But same with me, Tom. Same with me, my clothes.
You're like, Mom, at least I got a cowlick. Put some water on that cowlick because your hair's all messed up in some of your old school pictures.
She said, that was your favorite cowlick. You wouldn't let me put it down.
Yeah.
I asked my mom once, I said, Mom, why was every school picture my hair messed up? Yeah. You did hair growing up. And every picture my hair is either sticking up or messy, I guess because I always overslept.
Here's some of the things we were embarrassed to wear as a little kid. And this is kind of like for the little toddler guys, because they say nighttime pull-ups or undies. It's like you finally graduate, and it's like, do I still have to wear those, Mama? And you're, 13.
That's just
But what? No, the kids, they get the little pull-ups, and then they graduate to the underoos. And so they're embarrassed to wear the pull-ups, so they want to wear the underoos. That was mentioned. That was not in any school pictures, by the way.
That's why I was confused.
Bow ties were mentioned. You got a little bow tie on. You dressed up. Maybe even for like Easter, they say a suit or a dress. Sometimes you would dress it all up, and you didn't want to be in that as a little kid.
Oh, my gosh. I remember my mom, every single Easter Sunday, we had those white socks with the frill on the top.
Yep.
And then the white little Mary Jane shoes.
Dress it up.
That scuffed if you even looked at them. And I'm like, why would you put us in this? And then we'd get in trouble.
Yep. Glasses and braces were mentioned, something that the kids didn't want to wear or they were embarrassed to wear.
I miss my braces.
You know what's so funny is kids today, they're not embarrassed about braces.
No.
It's kind of cool.
Some kids get them and don't eat them.
Yeah. I had, and I don't know if you guys remember this or not, the dickie thing that you would wear around your neck. And
the little like mock turtleneck thing?
Let me tell you, those are making a comeback. You go to Amazon and just type in like dickie neck whatever.
Watch out.
Make sure you get Safe Search on.
It's like, and I had a little turtleneck. Here it is. You can buy four of these for $23.99. Look at that too. It's like girls do this. They've got it. Looks like a little button-up shirt.
That's in your cart. So you're buying it?
No. I had to wear one, a red one on a picture day. I didn't even have it, because you just wear it and there's no shirt to it at all.
It's like a pilgrim bib almost. Lord. Yeah.
But I think you're supposed to wear something over it, right? So you don't see where it cuts off.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird. Thanks, Mom.
That shirt under that.
My little belly button was showing. But the dickies are making a comeback. If you, dickie collar is what you need to.
Excited.
You know why? Because I was so embarrassed but with that picture. And then I went to Google it today, and I could not believe they've made a comeback.
Well, you say they made a comeback. Just because something's for sale on Amazon doesn't mean it's made a comeback.
Really?
Oh, okay. They sell everything on Amazon.
Do research at church on Sunday. Yeah. See how many guys are wearing them.
Can I look down your shirt? Just want to see if that's a full shirt or not.
Flash me.
You got a turtleneck. And then another thing that you're embarrassed to wear as a little kid, old hand-me-down clothes, like your brother's worn-out shirt or
your sister's pants.
Oh, yeah. You had a bunch of sisters.
I had three older sisters.
Yeah. I have a comedian actually talking about that this morning.
No, is it me?
No, it's not you.
I grew up in a house full of women. You know, that's all I had, man. I grew up with sisters and my mom. And it was cool, except I had to wear the hand-me-downs. And my mom would say, just put them on. They won't notice. Act natural. Yeah, right. I was the only kid in school with pink jeans and the zipper in the back.
Did you have a zipper in the back, Kato?
No. Well, what's that for?
They had to, or they have like a little name on the back of them.
Oh, I had Juicy.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that face.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I was just talking about how Gen Z, many of them feel like they weren't taught life lessons that they needed, things like how to do banking and finance and leases and renting and mortgages and things like that. So they feel like they have a lot of anxiety about life and doing basic adulting.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out there's something that can help boost Gen Z's confidence, and you may find this helps you as well.
Fireball.
What is it?
Fireball.
Fireball is not the correct answer, Kato.
It works.
It's not the best choice,
so
though.
Confident.
You're supposed to say, what is Fireball?
It turns out that 9 out of 10 people said finishing a home project makes them feel accomplished and confident for 6 weeks afterwards.
Fun fact, it makes me feel the exact opposite while I'm doing the DIY. Because okay. I have never doubted myself more when I'm halfway through a project and I'm like, why did I do this? Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing.
I started a home project about 10 years ago. I still hadn't painted.
Oh, so you've got just big blotches on the walls.
But I feel okay.
Well, they say that painting is one of the common tasks that people feel good about doing and they feel like they can actually do. 83% of them said nothing beats completing a do-it-yourself project independently rather than having to call for help halfway through.
And they're making it easier. Like, you know, those walls, like when you get a hole in them from, I don't know, kids.
Hang a picture.
Well, you can do that. But you can also got that spackle. It's what you just all got to just swipe it and then just sand it down a little bit and paint right over it.
I saw someone, their husband punched a hole through the wall and she framed it. And she made it the artwork. So he just walks by it every day.
That's a do-it-yourself.
I like that.
Well, they say that the average is 8 completed projects in people's current homes. And the most intimidating task were installing flooring.
Yeah.
Who would try?
Yeah,
I would do that. Nuh-uh. It looks like you just put those little pieces and click them down into the little slot, and then when you get to the wall, you fix everything there.
You make it sound easy.
I think it's probably hard work, but I don't think it's hard mental work.
Okay, but you got to put the right kind of glue down, and I tell you something else, flooring in the shower. My shower looks disgusting.
Okay, well, you seem proud of that.
Well, because I tried to regrout it, and I did something wrong. And it's, you know, it's almost got, like, speed bumps in my shower floor.
Get you some of that outdoor AstroTurf.
Yeah, just put it down.
Just put that down. That'd be neat, scratchy feet.
I just get a rug, throw a couple rugs down my shower.
Okay, caulking tubs was also considered an intimidating task.
I hate it.
I wouldn't try.
Yeah, but you know, because you got to run your finger just right, and they got little gadgets now. You can get them on Amazon that makes it look, the way they film that, that commercial looks like it's so easy, but get doing it, and it's like, oh man, what have I got myself into?
Okay, they also said repairing drywall was right there with it. To me, repairing drywall is super easy. Like Hawk says, and now they even make these little patches that you put over it, and then you like paint a layer, and then you peel the sticker off, and you paint a layer again, and by the time they're done, you can have a 2 or 3 inch hole in the wall, and it covers it without even getting any spackling out.
It must be harder than it looks, though, based off the places I've like rented in the past, because the way you just paint over stuff, and you'll still see the nails sticking out, and they just paint it white to match the wall.
That's laziness. That's not difficulty. It's just lazy.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? Somebody's moving out of the apartment, and they're like, I just want to get my money back. I don't care what it looks like. It's like they're going to put something on there and make it look good for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Common first projects were painting. That was relatively easy. Mounting TVs and hanging pictures.
No, I don't want to mount a TV.
That's not that hard.
You just got to make sure you get it in the stud.
Right, which I did. Mine's hanging over a stone fireplace, and I got it. It's been up there for 12 years.
I've seen all the videos of the guys who got the TV put up, turn around to look at it, and just fall off the wall.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard to watch TV when it's laying face down.
Well, it sounds like that if you can finish a do-it-yourself project, it gives you a lot of confidence in yourself. But if you don't, then it probably takes away confidence.
I love home projects, but the amount of times that I will show up at the Home Depot in one weekend trying to get one project done, it's if I'm like, hi, I'm back again. I miscalculated.
It helps to live close.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. You know what? I can take trash out and count that as a home project, and I feel good about it.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm like, I did not miss the garbage truck this week. I feel good.
But crap, what day is it?
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, can you tell it's football season? I mean, you see it all over the place, all your friends talking about football. 52% of college football fans admit that they are superstitious when it comes to their favorite team.
What percentage?
52%.
Well, I'm surprised it's not higher than that. People are really superstitious about sports.
Yeah, 46% have a ritual they'll do to boost their team's odds of winning. That's pretty superstitious.
And yeah, it is.
They get fierce about their team, especially with this Clemson-Carolina thing going on for years.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about that. Yeah, what's the deal?
I know. College is very, very competitive.
And, you know, you have the ones you've heard them say they wear the same underwear every game for luck that they don't wash. Uh-huh. But yet people look down on me when I spend a weekend at home and not shower. What's the difference?
Well, you know.
It's a good question.
That is one of the things, wearing lucky T-shirt or a hat is what they will do. Some people even sleep in the jersey the night before. That's how superstitious they are, because they want their Tigers or their Gamecocks to win.
Just know that you're not doing anything to help them win.
No.
Sorry.
I love when people say, we won. Yeah. Like, you didn't play.
You know what, though? But imagine this. If you had a football game, nobody showed up. You know what? And there's everybody at the stadium, all the teams playing, and no one's there to watch them. That would not give them any inspiration at all.
They'd still try to win.
Well, of course they would, but it still wouldn't be the same. I mean, it's about the we part of showing up and supporting our team.
For sure, but they won. I was not running. I was just going, yay, team.
I was running back and forth to the food.
Oh, does that count?
And all this the superstitious underwear stuff. No team is lost because three people on their side didn't wear their lucky underwear to bed that night, and on the other side, three people did.
Can you imagine they're giving the after like game prep talk or whatever, and they're like, we really appreciate Steve for wearing those stinky underwear again.
Yeah, 35% of college football fans said they'd rather attend their team's biggest rivalry game than go to a friend's wedding.
Wow, well, I mean, I'd rather go to almost any of the games rather than the wedding.
Yeah, it don't even have to be somebody you're interested in, does it?
That's terrible.
I enjoy going tailgating.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not one to go into the game, but the thing is, like, I've been to Clemson games. If it starts at 7 o'clock at night, my friends are leaving at 8 a.m. from Greenville to go tailgate. I'm like, I will be dead by 7.
Get this. 92% of fans said they would remain loyal and committed to their team even if they lost every game in the season.
Yeah, I bet they're not counting on that happening, though.
No, they're not. But, I mean, you get to the end of the season like, you know, and there's you just throw your hands up like, okay, we got next year.
Yeah.
That's my husband. He roots for the Saints, and apparently they don't do well, haven't done well in a while.
Yes, ma'am.
And every season he's like, here we go. Yeah. He's just so sad about it.
It's a building year. We're just building the team for next year, and that's the way they look at it.
Yeah, you wait till next year.
Let me tell on you, too, you football fans. This was very interesting. 71% of the people will turn down plans to hang out with you in order to watch their football game on TV. So it's like, might as well just not make plans if it's a Saturday because I'm going to be watching the game.
My friends always say, so what are we doing Saturday? We're going to watch the game. So whatever we do, we know there has to be a TV.
Yeah.
Either at somebody's house or in a sports bar, but there's got to be a TV if we're going to hang out.
But almost, I think watching football is almost a social thing. Uh-huh. You're commenting on the plays. There's breaks in between. The time to chat in between plays.
Making bets.
Yep. I think it's actually a social experience.
Well,
it's
but a lot of people get their feelings hurt because they feel like the game's more important than they are in their friendship.
Well, then know your role.
And I'm not going to call out which team, but it's much like the iPhone Android. The iPhone people thinking that they're uppity. There are teams. There are fans of teams.
He's talking about University of South Carolina.
Shut it.
Ooh.
I can tell.
I pull for all the teams in South Carolina. I pull for.
And you know what? That's what I'd like to see. If you want to talk about a sporting event, I'd like to see two people, Android and iPhone, just go at it right in the middle of the field.
I got my lucky underwear on.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.